Reading today from the Gospel of John, this passage for this particular Sunday in the church calendar, John 9. John 9 is where we're at. John chapter 9. Begin reading at verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He's a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he's our son," the parents answered. "We know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man's a sinner." He replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." And then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this, they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. I invite you to turn back in the scriptures to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, if you're looking at the outline, I should have included that. with the outline, but it's John chapter 9. Title of the sermon today is Christ is the Light of the World. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would be our vision, that you would open our eyes, that we would come to know what pleases you, that we would come to see who Jesus truly is. We ask, Lord, for faithfulness in preaching your word and for blessing to your people, that your Son would be our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As I read the passage in John chapter 9, it seems to me that Jesus is on the Temple Mount area, very close to where the temple originally stood, so he's in Jerusalem. And as he goes along with his disciples, they see a blind man. And so his disciples have the question, Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And we've all had the experience at some point in our lives of hearing others talk about us. And that can be very uncomfortable at times. And you can be certain that the blind man was really listening when the disciples asked this question of Jesus. And the answer that he gave, the words of Jesus were precious and they were gracious to the ears of this blind man. His response was, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. We see something wonderful in the statement of our Lord that our problems, you might think of a few of your problems, that our problems in God's hands will bring about his glory. The theological question is answered, who sinned, this man or his parents? And the answer is, not this man. He didn't cause his blindness with a sin, nor did his parents. But Jesus said, this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. I think this had to be a very exciting response for the blind man to hear. This reason given by the Lord that there would be displayed in his life the work of God. What could that mean? That the work of God would be displayed in his life. And we can see then as the event unfolds how this happened. But that's a principle for all of us. Why is this bad thing happening, the thing that seems bad to us? Well, what we need to do for people of faith, if we're going to be obedient to the Lord, is that we need to bring it to him. We need to follow his word and look for the work of God in our lives. And Jesus is going to show the work of God here, that he's the light of the world. And this person who's in darkness is going to see the light. And so we would take home the message today in verse 4 and 5. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. That's our work too, to proclaim that Jesus is the light of the world. Night is coming when no one can work. We have opportunity now, but sometime our life's going to be over and we're not going to be able to do this. But here now is a day of opportunity. And so Jesus, having said this in verse 6, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. You might think of what that would sound like, you ladies that don't like to hear people spit. And he made some mud and put it on the blind man's eyes. This is different. And he commanded him to wash in the pool of Siloam. He could have healed him right there. He did other places later as he comes through Jericho. But here, this was the means that he did. He put mud on the man's eyes, and then he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which would have been down the hill. And the word is translated for us here. It means sent. And so Jesus sent him to this place, this pool, that meant sent. And you can picture him in your mind's eye leaving the temple area, walking about a half a mile down the hill, tapping his cane along the way on the ground until he gets to that man-made pool called Siloam, and then bends down and washes his eyes and sees. The man went and washed and came home seeing. And his neighbors and those who formerly seen him begging said, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Could he be the beggar that we saw all the time? I had a trip to Israel in 1994 outside of what it was called the Paternoster Church that commemorates the Lord's Prayer, and at that time in 62 languages. And so you could find the Lord's Prayer, your version, or your language, and pray the Lord's Prayer there. And outside the gate, there was a beggar. Well, in 1996, I was able to return with my son, and I saw the same beggar in the same place 2 years later. In 1998, I returned with my wife, and sure enough, the same beggar in the same place was there. And so these people make an impression on our minds, and we think, you know, here we need to give them some money because the Lord says not to turn away from people in need. And so this person looks very, very sad and in need and sitting there with a bowl, perhaps blind. And this was the person who would sit on a place of busy traffic, no doubt near the temple, where people that would go there would see him, and they thought, "Oh no, do I need to give him some money?" And he would have annoyed a lot of people. So a lot of people took note of him. He was the blind man. And some claim, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, "I'm the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" And he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam, so I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. So Jesus had left the scene with his disciples, and this blind man had gone down and done what Jesus told him to do, and then he goes home, and he sees. And people have questions. They want to know how it happened. And he said, "Well, the man Jesus did it." He gave straight answers later as he was brought before the Pharisees, because people needed an explanation. Jesus was being confronted by groups of Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and so forth that had this Jesus derangement syndrome going on. They were against Jesus because of his statement that he was the Messiah, and he would say it in various ways. And they were opposed to that idea. And the controversy here in verse 14 was that the day he made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. It was a day of rest when you didn't do work. And so he did this where it crossed a line with a Pharisee's tradition. And they were offended by that, although he had not violated God's commandments in any way. But how fitting, really, for healing to take place on a day when we look to the Lord. And so some of the Pharisees asked him, and he gave them a straight answer. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied. I washed, and now I see. And some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? They were divided. So we have this group of people, mostly were against him. And there were some, however, that didn't have that strong view. They had the question, well, how could a sinner do these miraculous signs? A few weeks ago, we were in John 3 with Nicodemus, and he started the conversation with, Rabbi, we know your teacher has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing who has not come from God. No one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him. So Nicodemus saw that Jesus was from God. Joseph of Arimathea, as we would see later in the gospel, was probably one of these. There were probably at least two that were disagreeing with their counterparts here and taking the other view. But most of them had the opinion that Jesus had violated the commandments in healing the man on the Sabbath. And so they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. Now, they call for the parents to come and to confirm that he was their son. And when they come, they ask him, is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? We know he's our son. Parents answer, we know he's born blind, but how he can see now or open his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. Kind of a smarty answer here, if you ask me. But they didn't want to put themselves in a bad situation with the Jewish leaders. In verse 22, because they were afraid that they would be put out of the synagogue because it had already been decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. So that was the view of this Jewish community. If you confess that Jesus was the Messiah, you were no longer welcome in the synagogue. And so that was why the parents said, he's of age, ask him. But they did confirm that he was their son. And so they asked the man yet another time, give glory to God, we know this man's a sinner. And he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? And they hurled insults at him. He said, you're this fellow's disciples. We're disciples of Moses. And so that's the work of people that have been touched by the work of Christ in bringing about a new outlook of the world, a new worldview. Those that have been given the blessing of seeing that Jesus is the light of the world, that's got to be what we're doing, performing that task of proclaiming Christ as the light of the world. And the people that we encounter are often not going to be objective. In most situations, there's going to be some hostility and immediate opposition, as there is here. And so in verse 24 and 25, we have the blind man that was healed standing up to the pressure at this point, and he says, okay, you know that he's a sinner. I don't know that, but I know I was blind, and I know I see now. And his testimony is a rebuke of the Pharisees' unbelief. He is unwavering here. Well, how could he not be, in a sense? But his witness was that Jesus brought about his sight. I was blind, but now I see. That sounds like a song, doesn't it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. So the healed man does not cower before the opposition of Christ. He questions the Pharisees' ability to listen. I've told you already, and you did not listen. You know, some people are like that. They have the clear evidence right before them, and they don't listen. They don't want to hear it. That's the problem. And so the healed man makes the observation in verse 30. He said, that's remarkable. You don't know where this man comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. So as you read through the Old Testament, you do not find a miracle of, there are miracles in the Old Testament, but not that many miracles. There's some miracles of leprosy being cured and some other miracles that are mentioned, but there's no miracle of a person with blindness being able to see. But it was one of the signs given for the coming of the Messiah. In Isaiah 35, we read, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. So there you have it. There's a sign of the Messiah. Here's what Jesus would do to heal the man born blind. And so this is one of the seven miracles that John puts forward for us to know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior, and hear that he's the light of the world. So the man that's been healed questions the Pharisee's ability to listen. He knows that God hears the prayers of his faithful people, and he maintains his witness in spite of rejection by the Pharisees. When he said this, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this, he replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. So he's cast out of the synagogue. He is expelled. He's excommunicated. And we think of the Reformation period where people like Luther and Calvin were excommunicated. They were put out of the church for the teaching of the gospel. And this happens here at this time, where the healed person who knows the gospel, the work of God, that he is expelled. And at this point, then, Jesus shows up. He had heard that he'd been thrown out of the synagogue, thrown out of the assembly. When he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you. So note here, this is very important, that Christ looks for the rejected sinner to call him to faith. And here's a question in this event that we need to answer ourselves. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? Tell me so I may believe in him. We see God is glorified through the healed sinner's progression of thought as he referred to his healing done by a man they called Jesus. Later, he confessed that he's a prophet, and in our recent dialogue here, he came to the conclusion that he was from God, because only somebody that could do this would be from God. And here Jesus asks him if he would believe in the Son of Man. And he says, Lord, I believe. and he worshiped him. And you're in the Bible, you're not to worship anything that isn't God. And this is completely acceptable. In fact, this is where we need to end up. And so John gives us the manner in which he wrote the book, that he set forth the various miracles, the purpose of which is so that having read them, we would believe that Jesus is the Son of God and have life in his name. And so we need to comprehend the sign, the miracle of opening the eyes of the blind man, and to realize that this is our story, that once I was blind, and God in his mercy gave us spiritual healing, and spiritually we were able to see. We were able to see that Christ is the light of the world. Jesus goes on to say here, "For judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." The blind will see. Oh, here's a blind man who the miracle was done to him, and he saw. But the Pharisees who saw the miracles, more than this miracle, but many miracles, blinded themselves. And so we must be watchful for willful blindness of our own. There's a danger of rebellious arrogance where we know better than God. We're going to stake out what our belief is and then make sure that we don't have anyone challenge that from the Word. The lesson here is that we need to humbly hear the Word of Christ, letting the light of Jesus shine upon our path. For he said, "For judgment I've come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." We don't want to become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind to?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." And so sadly, the people that had many opportunities, who witnessed many miracles, Jesus didn't make it easy for them. I think of the time when he healed 10 lepers and 9 of them went to the priest. I think of those 9 lepers coming to the temple to be examined. "Well, how did your leprosy get cured?" "Well, Jesus healed me." And then they'd have to look him over and pronounce him clean. Didn't make it easy for them. But yet, they continued to resist him. And we see in the earlier verses here, in verses 4 and 5, what this means for us, this work of God that was displayed in the life of the blind man. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. In other words, okay, this is, we must do it. We, as disciples of Christ, we must do this work. Night is coming when no one can work. Sometime our life's going to be over. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. That's the mission of the church, to proclaim that Christ is the light of the world. That's the work that the Father has for us. And so the miracle of giving sight to the blind man should encourage us to carry out our assignment in this world and to articulate what the Lord has done for us in spite of rejection. And if the miracle of conversion has taken place, we will be convinced of the power of Jesus, the Son of God, the light of the world, and have life through his name. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your mercies and that you're bigger than all our problems. And you've given your church a glorious message of grace and power to proclaim in this dark and sinful world. And we ask a blessing now on our lives, that we could be faithful in doing that work, and that you would empower us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.